Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki's here. Bree's here. Jacob's here. How are you three doing?
Great. Stressed, but great.
Yeah, you have a wedding.
On Saturday. It's only like...
Wow.
This is the last appearance of Bree Galgano on the show.
I know. You're going to have to call me Bree Reiner from now on.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to remember something new. That's not good. Thankfully, I don't have to remember.
Injury.
I mean,
that's Mr. Lady.
Mr. Magritte?
Mr. Lady. That's what we've decided you can call him. Mr. Lady. Yeah.
Perfect. We got a bunch of people joining us this episode. This past weekend was VGMCon, which we know our love for that event on this show. And we have an all-star lineup of folks joining us to talk about VGMCon. From VGMCon, Vaughn is here. We have Grant here. We have Doug Arley here. We have Mustin here. We have Flick here. And we have Scott Wells here. Everyone all at the same time. How's everybody doing?
Joe wasn't there. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Scott is enjoying the soundboard, which is very good. Vaughn, for the people who don't remember what VGMCon is, tell us, what was the weekend all about?
Well, VGMCon is essentially half gaming convention and half music festival. And if you like one of those two things, better both, then it's a great event to spend a whole weekend at. All these different concerts happening on a bazillion different stages. I can't even keep track of how many now. There's speed running, there's panels, there's competitions, there's cosplaying, there's a little bit of everything. And this year's theme was stitched together, and it was very cute and warm and fuzzy feelings all over the place.
That's good to hear. I wanted so bad to go this year after missing it last year, but the world situation and what's going on in the country kind of like scared me away from wanting to travel anywhere at all recently. So like a long ass trip was not in the cards for me, but it was in the cards for a bunch of y'all. And how was the weekend? Did everybody have fun?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
I only remember half of it, but the half I remember is good.
Which half do you remember?
The beginning of half of Friday and some part of the middle of Saturday, and then it snowed.
It did snow at like 4 a.m. Saturday night. It snowed.
So we had this fun thing where I was like, I want to get some beers from a grocery store, but I don't want to get a bunch of like really, like they have Gold Monkey, they're like 9%. I'm like, I don't want a bunch of 9% beers. So I want like what Stone Brewing Pilsner. And the dude brought me a Stone Brewing IPA 9.9% like variety pack. So every single beer I had to drink was a 9.9% beer.
Oh no.
It was a little rough.
Wow.
Do you remember giving me the rest of your beers before you left?
Yeah. You know, I gave you like five or so, and that was a 12 pack. So that was a long weekend for me.
Don't worry. People partook in the abandonment beers. So thank you.
I'm glad they found a good home.
Abandonment beers.
They did get abandoned, but they did get adopted.
Look, you're still doing a lot of work with the event. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We can say that.
What'd you do this year?
Yes.
What did a lot of you do this year?
I don't remember. But what I did do was a lot of the typical stuff. So just wrangling a bunch of friends together with a ton of equipment. I brought the video walls again for the two stages. I brought a whole bunch of lights for us to use on Hero Stage. Just, you know, more equipment, because we're always trying to step up the game every year just to make it even more awesome. Yeah, just a lot of gear, a lot of people, a lot of setup, and once opening ceremonies hit, she was running good.
Hero Stage looked incredible. If you had a hand in any of that lighting stuff, man, it was awesome. Looked so good over there.
Yeah, so what happened last year is I actually brought the 8 moving lights that were at Hero this year, but we didn't have anybody to run them. So just a couple static lights got set up last year and just, that's what you got. But this year we had a dedicated lighting person to run it. So it was everything getting set up. So we had the 8 movers, we had some cool LED wash bars, and it worked out pretty good. Other than the lights crashing on occasion, and somebody would have to unplug an extension cord and plug them back in. But, you know.
Jiggle the handle.
I mean, you can't have everything run perfect. Gotta just have a couple little glitches here and there.
It's not a homegrown indie gaming con without some hiccups along the way, right?
Because everybody gets it.
Exactly. Mustin, what did you do there this year? Were you a performer or an attendee?
I just attended. Well, I did. I ended up doing a, what's that word? It's not a workshop, but it's a...
kind of a panel, right?
It's not a panel. What's the other word? There's another word.
Instruction.
Dang it. I did a B word.
Improv.
Orgy. Where I put together a track from Sprizatch and just explained the process. The big idea was to do it with a clinic. That's the word. I did a clinic, the original idea was to have a half moon of people with their instruments sitting in front of a microphone, and then I would pull them up one by one when I had an idea. Oh, play this on the flute, and the flute comes up and put on the headphones. Everybody shush, record it. Okay, go sit back down, and then kept doing that, but a little too grandiose. I didn't have enough time with everything that was going on. I was like, let's just pull this. But they didn't run it up the flagpole hallway high enough, and I still had it in the booklet. So I figured I'll just show up and do something, and I literally did no prep. But I was super flattered because the entire weekend through Sunday afternoon, people were coming up to me and telling me that they appreciated my nuggets of wisdoms. So that was pretty cool.
How many people showed up to it? Because I wasn't able to make it.
There were a lot of people there, and then I did not fault them at all for leaving. Just a lot of people left.
Did you record it?
I didn't record it.
Okay. Because I missed it too, because I forgot when you play in a band, you have to stand around at band practice.
Yeah.
I walk into a hotel ready to perform. Not everyone does that. So sometimes you get stuck at band practice and you can't come to Mustin's panel, but we do our best, right?
That's true.
Grant, how many bands did you perform with?
One.
That's it?
And I just played a cowbell, bro.
Damn.
And you played it good.
Hey, thanks, bud. I played
your brother, hot dang, dude.
Yeah, I played in Los Veros with Will Reyes and a bunch of really talented people. And I just played hand percussion, or I played, like, let's call it aux perk for this conversation. Adam played congas and bongos. And then I played like a cowbell and shaker and all kinds of other stuff. So I basically was just like, it was just like writing down rhythms, salsa rhythms, bossa nova stuff. So I checked that off my list. So it felt good. The band was real sexy. Too sexy. Too sexy for VGM.
Was it too sexy that it hurt?
It felt great.
I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree. I think that there have been some one-ups groups that have been more like porn-erific. It was very sexy, and it was very Latin and cool, but there's some stuff that the one-ups have done that has just been downright nasty and banned in some countries.
So it was a really good set, but the one-ups are better. So Take that.
I don't know about better. What it is. I'm just trying. I want to hold on to my sexy word. No, I don't know about better.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
The talent there was immense. I think it was really just like good because I wasn't up there playing. So that was what made it great.
I think the SVGM hashtag is still yours. So.
Well, I'm surprised I didn't hear that name that y'all gave me last year.
Daddy?
Yeah.
I guess that was just for one. Was that just for that last year one. Then?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's a one and done?
One and done. It's like me and your mom.
Oh.
That's right.
Grant, you did a panel too, didn't you? Nice
food dinner and didn't call her.
Yeah, Mustin did come to my panel.
Yeah, I went to your pinballs.
He went to my pinballs.
I asked a question.
He did. Every year he asks me if I'm married. Every year. What are we... One of these times, maybe I'll be like, come on up to the podium there, Mustin. No, I did my... I checked off a few things this year. I did the aux perk, and then I did a pinball panel. I did a panel about the history of music and pinball. And I was like, I am fully ready to just do this panel to my roommates. But a lot of people showed up because what the hell am I going to talk about? And it ended up being great. It was a good time. So,
it was great.
Yeah. And Mustin closed out with a real good question. So it was great. It was a lot of fun. It's fun talking at people about stuff you love with a microphone and see if they leave or not.
And I thought it was fun because just coincidentally, a couple weeks beforehand, I got two pinball machines. So,
truth,
you know, relevant to life stuff. Then I told a couple of my pinball buddies that, yeah, checking out this panel. My buddy Grant, he did the audio for the Avatar one, and they're like, oh my god, that's a pinball celebrity. So it's pretty awesome.
Pinball celebrity.
Tell me you have that one 80s metal audio track lined up. So we can just hit play right now. Need another encore.
Get that on the soundboard.
Oh, the heavy metal meltdown.
Yeah,
metal.
With yeah. The slow zoom.
There's one egregious metal pinball soundtrack I decided to play one and a half times during the panel, and I got requested one more time as one of the panel questions. And it's something else.
Could you imagine playing that machine and it just keeps looping that nonstop?
Yeah, I can. I tried. I've played it. I found it one time, and it just gets faster and faster and more stupid.
Is that the one with the crazy multi-ball like guitar solos in it?
Yeah, it's the whole thing is basically just nothing but guitar solos. No.
this is a big snare fill. That's
it's the fastest snare fill you've ever heard. Mustin, how fast can you roll your tongue?
Not. I'm a Mexican, baby.
Oh wow, you're one of us.
I can't. I always want to say that the word with the really really good tacos with the meat in it. That's like quesadilla.
Oh yeah. That's big now.
Quesadilla.
Quesadilla. There we go. I did the snare fill.
This Discord let part of that come through. So yes, that. Yeah. So that was my VGMCon, and then seeing all my family, all the fun people that are here and elsewhere.
Family, yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time every year. It's the only one I won't miss. Only a VGM event I can't miss. So.
Same.
Good job, Vaughn. Good job, Vaughn. You got us. You got the OGs. And all the new kids. So,
this year definitely was. I mean, we probably say this every year on this podcast around this time, but this was definitely the best one yet.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Ooh.
Yeah.
I think our staff outgrew, I mean, our attendance grew by like probably like close to 200 people, which was like 20%. So that's a lot of extra people. But I think our staff grew by what felt like half in certain departments. And I think it was good. It felt a lot better. It felt like, oh, okay, this is a little more sustainable. There's just more people, more hands, more, you know, things just went smoother, I think, because of that. Like, it felt good from a from like a con running perspective, just like, okay, I'm less tired. I'm smiling more than I usually do at this time of the event. Usually that all happens on Sunday because it's like, okay, we're almost done and I can kind of relax and just hang out with people. But even Saturday went pretty well. Just had a lot of fun, which is, I think, a good sign when the people running the event are also having a great time and aren't too exhausted.
Well, we had a lot of those extra volunteers for, you know, kind of learning and running some of the audio, lighting, video wall stuff for the stages. So we had a lot of people really interested in like learning and actually kind of doing some of the basic operations of that stuff. So that certainly helped us out a lot.
I had a conversation with a few different people, but like we have the benefit of having this like smaller, intimate kind of get together, right? But we also have the benefit of being just older and better at things, right? so you go here and it's just like, I like the first MAGFest were like a shit show, right? Like there's just fucking people going nuts everywhere. Like there's just nobody knows what's going on. There's maybe like two bands because only two bands existed at the time. Right? It was like,
oh, there was like three.
The one ups and the mini buses. Counts,
but.
Yep.
But like now, right? All the people that went, the guys that go to some of the MAGFests and like, you know, all the musicians that performed at all the MAGFests and stuff were all like way older and way smarter and just everything's easier now because we're just so much wiser. So like you get this really nice, just like fine tuned, streamlined like event and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, there's something to that I was kind of thinking about a lot this weekend. Like if you took a generic gaming convention or a generic anime convention of like the same size, it would be so much more chaotic. And I think just we benefit from like having a relatively mature scene, even though obviously our event isn't as old as MAGFest or anything like that. Like the experience of people involved, like the number of bands, the performance experience of the bands, the experience of all the staff that we, you know, if someone helps run another show, it actually helps also kind of, it benefits every other show they're involved with. And I think, yeah, we just kind of have like a very mature and a little bit older crowd that I think it's kind of just the right fit right now.
You got your shit together. That's the way to say it.
Well, we definitely have some people that are really good at figuring out problems on the fly. Like the only time the video wall in Boss Stage had issues throughout the whole weekend was unfortunately during Danny B's set. Like there were just some signal feed issues, but we were immediately jumping on it, just trying to troubleshoot, managed to get it to come back. And, you know, some lesser experienced people might be like, oh no, it's gone. I guess we'll fix it after the show.
You got it to come back with fantastic timing, too. It was like right on a good drop.
And that happened twice.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, both times it came back, it was just the most pivotal moment in what it was supposed to be. So I think it was meant to be. Also, it was insanely good to see Danny again, because I hadn't seen him since, good God, like MAGFest in 2012. Mm. So that was like a minute ago.
Yeah, I was talking to him because like I see my MAGFest and I got to see him here too, and I was just like, I really like this Danny B coming out and doing stuff again arc. I know he had some health problems and he moved to Canada and all that stuff, but like seeing him active and like doing stuff and like, not just, you know, soundtracks, obviously soundtracks are incredible, but actually like touring and shit, it's like it's wonderful. He's just so good up there. His music is so good. It hits so hard, and it's just I love every bit of it.
Yeah, he really wants to play. He's like out to rock, you know, like he wants to go everywhere, it looks like. So that's awesome.
Who else performed this year? How many bands were there? Who made it? Who were the headliners? Who were the openers? How many stages? Give me all the info.
Vaughn, do you even consider anything to be a headliner?
That's a really tough question. I mean, Boss Stage was so like the whole, anyone on like the Saturday Boss Stage lineup feels like they could have been a headliner. I mean, it was
I will say, when Disco Cactus was here this year, and
that would be your candidate.
They packed the crap out of that room. I mean, packed it. So that was pretty awesome.
Is it the same room as it was 2 years ago when I was there?
Yes.
Oh my God! How many people could you fit in there?
587.
Oh no!
It was wall to wall all the way back, both sides of the room, all the way to the little entrance area they had taped off. It was packed in there for that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And Joe, last time you would have been there. The band merch was still in the back, so we did remove that. That was its own room this year. So there's a little space back there. Not a whole lot, but it was a bit of extra space.
Hey, everyone.
And we had plenty of fans preemptively in everywhere, which I think helped pretty much every stage.
Oh, let's see.
Everybody's got something going on, and it's awesome for a separate reason. I mean, yes, Disco Cactus did crush it. Los Veros thing, that punch out thing, that was the special thing. And I don't want to blow any more smoke up Grant's butt, but that feeling of seeing Los Veros play punch out was unlike anything. It completely transcended the video game and the music. I don't know. It was the same feeling when I saw Metroid Metal for the first time around 2000, the first time y'all were at MAGFest. And, that made my brain break. But like, these other kids, I think I heard of the trombone player before, but I haven't heard of these other kids, and they crushed it in the hero stage, had it packed up, and then Orca Mind was like, just filled the joint. Those kids
those kids are great.
Unbelievable talent, and they're doing something that, I mean, there's some great people like Julia and Tara C, like the people that sing and stuff, but there's something really special about a husband and wife playing freaking Zelda music on a guitar, harmonizing perfectly while wearing fingerless gloves.
I was sitting on the bench, and there's like, because they're like in the Joe, if you remember, they have like the downstairs kind of thing, like where the grand piano was. There's like a downstairs thing area, so they're like there. And I'm sitting on the middle of the stairs and looking up, and there's just like Mustin's up there. We have Kent, who was like on the stairs. He's the local VGM, the event organizer. There was like everybody was just like stopping and just like staring down that staircase. It was incredible.
And that is awesome. I think one of the biggest hurdles to me going, I've always been concerned about flying because of my size, and I've been addressing that this year, and I think I am the lightest that Mustin has ever known me.
Really?
Yeah.
I am under 300 pounds for the first time.
Whoa.
Wow, Joe.
Where's the applause button?
Cheers, Joe. Side?
Yeah, I know.
That's great, man. That's great.
Big old dumb idiot.
Yeah, get out your freaking soundboard for that.
That was a good one.
Joe, does that mean I can lay around your shoulders again?
Yeah, you can. You always can.
Oh, my God. Well, that's great. I hope that keeps going, Joe, and we'll and see you in 2027, man.
I am hoping that I could get over the anxiety to fly, and maybe next year I'll fly in for this one.
Zip on down.
Take a train.
Dude, you're just going
to
take
your private jet. I'm still scared as fuck to fly, though. Like, I am... Oh, my God, my anxiety is through the roof about getting on a plane.
I'll send you a drink voucher.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out. Just got to get really high beforehand.
Bring a broadsword, because the theme is what is it, Vaughn? It's
VGM Con Age of Encores.
Encores.
What does that mean? So this one was like Yoshi theme. So
it's all just like show up in medieval stuff. That's what we're doing, Vaughn.
I might bring my suit of armor that I.
In my head, it's like
online video.
You could be any of those Age of Empire societies. You could show up in some Shogun armor or whatever the hell, right?
By the way, speaking of armor, did anyone see that really badass Doomslayer outfit?
No.
Oh my god, that person had it. Like, that was awesome.
The Doomslayer.
Oh, wait, Mustin, you were sitting there because Doomslayer and Samus went by, and you were like, hey, Samus! And you,
oh, that was funny. Samus walked by, and Samus looked incredible. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to let Samus walk by, because they had a whole entourage with them. And so I screamed out after they were far away enough, and I said, Samus! I don't care, I was like, Doc Brown from the Corneria Times, what do you say about the allegations that you left the creatures to die on Zebes as you were escaping? And Samus just looked at me, and people were laughing, and then their arm cannon turned on, and I shit myself again for the second time.
Oh, that's good.
Because it lit up.
Good answer.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It was good. I do like catching them in the scandals.
Did anyone see the pyramid head?
Yes,
I saw the pyramid head. Was so good.
It was like a little more minimalist pyramid head with a bunch of really well designed black lace. So the hat was like the pyramid shape, but with lace in the middle, and then 30 pounds of chains.
Yeah,
bare belly. Very sexy, incredible pyramid head. By far the most like bent up pyramid. The food pyramid head was my favorite forever.
I was just going to mention that one. The food
pyramid every year head. With the cleaver, so good. But I think that but Olivia's pyramid head has dethroned food pyramid head. Sorry, don't know your name. Sorry, Jeffrey. but yeah, that was a pretty good one. Yeah, there's actually some good cosplay this year. So.
Yeah, we had a cosplay showcase for the first time. I think people really liked the format. It wasn't like your anime convention, like competition for cosplay, but it was very casual. Just go up there and like show it off and tell us what you want to about it. And then it sounds like next year it's going to come back and we're planning to do like you show off your cosplay and then you do like a little mixer and everyone can go talk to each other about their cosplays and what they liked. Well, how did you make that? How did you... You know, how long did that take? Just meet other cosplayers. People really liked the not a competition aspect.
I saw a picture of it later, and it looks like they really filled that room nice.
Yeah, everything, even like all the panels were really well attended. Like, so I think there was a good balance of like interesting things happening in every location this year, where there was, everything got well attended. Keystage saw a lot more than I think it ever has. Hero was packed like the whole weekend, it felt like.
How many stages were there?
Let's see. Boss, five. Hero, Key, Underground, Warp. I think that's five.
Damn.
Yep.
There's also other little extra stage things, like 2DCon had a booth in a room, and people would randomly perform. Like I saw on Sunday, but just before we left, I got to see Brian Koenig from Lords of Trident just play an impromptu set at the 2DCon booth, and he's one of the best guitar players of all time, and it was almost like a guitar clinic just before we had to go. We like leave the hotel. I don't know, there was like music, there's music everywhere, of course.
And so, the jam space upstairs,
jam space. Dugosh brought like all his like looping like there was like hallway jams, and yeah, you know, as expected.
Yeah.
There's a really, really, really good use of the space this year. I don't know. It hasn't been that many things going on at once the previous years that I can recall, but this year, like the jam space being upstairs and the hero stage and all those things being all like, it's just like they made the most out of the space big time.
Yeah, it was wild to
optimize
it. Yeah, optimize was the word that I kept thinking all weekend. It felt like you figured out the space. You know where to put your tape marks on the floor permanently, you know.
Yeah, you know,
joke about that. It's like, let's just not peel the tape off the floor, we own this
just
place,
stays
now.
Leave it, yeah, totally. Just paint it next year.
God, all the Ubers that I had, they're like, I don't think I've seen anybody as this many people here ever in my life. Like, I come here all the time, and this is an insane amount of people here.
To the hotel.
Yeah, for the hotel.
And the cool thing is, even with the amount of people there, it still didn't feel that crowded. And that's what I love.
Yeah. That's why optimize is a good word. If you did the exact same thing next year, you can still add 10-15% growth and not feel a scratch at all.
Oh, I'm already scheming for next year.
Oh, scheme my ass. I had a 13-something hour drive home. I dropped off Annalisa at the airport, and then I drove for 13-something hours. And those last 2 hours, I ran out of music, and I just hunched over that steering wheel like an old man, and I made the whole The One-Up show for next year. All ready to go medieval, just like a multimedia experience that will rip your butt off.
Hell yeah.
Okay, well, I have an idea for you, and you can take this or leave it. This is what the Age of Encores mean, right? So there's Encore, there's Age of, but there's the Encore. So what you do is you come out, and you're like, this is our last song for the first song. And then you leave the stage, and you really make them wait, because it's the one-ups, right? You got to like...
Yeah.
Yeah. You come back like out and you play your encore, and your encore is 45 minutes long.
There you go. Also, I can do what William does, and he says, what does he say? He's like, I love this next song.
This song's my favorite.
Yeah, this next song is my favorite. That's funny.
Didn't the one time he introduced every song, he's like, this one is for the ladies.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what Twerp did when I went to see him. They're like, oh, this song is for the ladies here tonight. Like every single song except for the last one. Like, this one is for the fellas here, but also the ladies.
Nice.
This one's for all the Joe Cams out there.
Thank God there's not many of me.
It sounds like they're shrinking big time.
Well, I have an uncle named Joe Camisa, and there's a guy in Florida named Joe Camisa.
So yeah, he's out there. There's a Joe Camisa that has like a arcade bar by fucking Funky Buddha.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know him?
I don't know. I've been to Funky Buddha and I've seen the bar, and then I saw you and Hex Martinez talking about like, did you know this Joe Camisa? Are you related?
Dude, we're Facebook friends and we wish each other like happy doppelganger birthday.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just weird.
Scott here?
Yeah. What's up?
What's up, Ian? What'd you like best?
Man. So this year, say more than about good fucking.
It's only my third year, like, but crazy.
Wait, you're cutting out, yeah.
Oh, my bad. I said like this year, it's been like it was much more about it's a good hang. First year, I showed up. I didn't know fucking anybody, and I've been a lurker at MAGFest forever. You go to VGM mm-hmm. Con, you get to like meet the god, you know. And so I just, you know, get to, I'm slowly transitioning out of fanboy. This year was the first year I was able to talk to Robbie Benson and lose my shit.
That was Robbie Benson, you said, I think. I heard like every other syllable for some reason you're cutting out. But yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the sensitivity is too high.
Yeah, maybe it is.
It sounds more like a Discord.
Discord sucks a lot, so.
Yeah, and I'm also on my...
Exactly.
It's cutting out the most comical times.
Yeah, it is.
He's got it.
Well, Scott, guys, I am
the disarming code is.
Yeah, I'll just right. do.
Just one more thing. Soundboard. Don't.
All right. Yeah, Scott, yeah. There we go. Now I'm getting green. Regular.
There, green boy.
Turn it off. Back.
Nope.
Nope. I'm just gonna scream at my phone like an old man. You got me now.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. All right, fuck yeah. so yeah, I had a fucking blast just fucking hanging out, because usually I'm just a lurker and fanboy, but now that I've been a few times, you just get the chance to meet people.
Well, and you just get to that point of realizing that all of us are just human beings, you know, whether or not you're some super famous
musician.
Well, you're daddy, you know.
Hey, don't feel bad. I met Grant Henry for the first time this year.
It's Whoa. True.
Wasn't he hot?
Huh?
Wasn't he hot? Grant Henry? Wow. Every time I see him, just
every time.
Every time.
I'm surprised I was able to keep my cool around Taylor from Bit Brigade, because mega fan. But it's cool to see him.
I'm looking at a Polaroid of your beautiful face right now, Scott.
Hell yeah. I got you in my wallet too. So yeah, me and Mustin shot the shit. By the way, I finally looked up Tommy Tallarico. I had no idea the VGM community had its own Billy Mitchell. Holy shit.
Oh, that's a fucking wild story. I haven't heard that description. That is.
That's great.
That's it.
Good old Tommy Talicario.
So many people finding out about
Talicario.
I will show you. I think
by Sammy Salazar now. He's fucking.
Has he changed his name?
What?
He does what? Professional poker as Sammy Salazar. So he does some kind of professional thing under a pseudonym.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
I love that.
I can show you a time stamped thing today that I told somebody today. My buddy Carlito. I sent him that video of the what's his name? The guy who made the video.
Bomb guy.
Because I was talking about how that's it, the bomber guy. Because Cream was asking me what I would do next year, and I was like, well, I would still like to see a documentary, and I have all these stories, and maybe I can get some like video interviews and do something, and like a slide deck, like Grant did or whatever. And he's like, "You're going to talk about Tommy Tallarico?" So I sent him that video. Man, that's a great story. Well, he's the guy.
What he did work for a long time. That's why your buddy said that. So
he did work. He named the one ups. So you know, there's.
I was going to say, I feel like there's a through line. I feel like you either did something with him or knew him or something. I feel like that's something.
I
just want to go on record and say that Oof Sound was actually me. He recorded me making that noise.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And I produced the Earthworm Jim anthology. I produced that album.
Alexander Brandon last year said that Tommy Tallarico is the guy who set the $1,000 per hour VGM composer role. So I mean, there's that.
If that's true,
that's true. I don't know.
Sorry to like, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You told me a story about going to Japan and tracking down Nakamura to get first use rights on Sonic. I don't know. I mean, it's in there now, and it wasn't before. I don't know. It's just funny to me that dude used to call me and ask me for advice back in the 2003s area about to get the Video Games Live going off the ground, the orchestra. And now, what a story.
I mean, I saw Video Games Live, and they did a live Tron medley, and the 5-year-old part of me couldn't handle it, and that was him. That's real. Yep. You know? There's truth there somewhere.
Yeah, that's the shame of it. Like, he has like a lot of, you know, bona fides. He could have just been a cool fucking dude and had a legit legacy.
Bro.
So Vaughn, you should invite Tommy Tallarico next year, is what we're trying to say. Let's call it an encore. Let's call it a
let's give him his
I
kind of wanted to ask, like, what is the whole encore theme, and did Mustin let it slip that the one-ups are officially announced for next year?
No, I just made it up in my mind so that when we because it says like I don't know who writes it, I imagine it's Vaughn says, well, why would you like to play at VGM Con? What would you do different? And I said, well, okay, Vaughn, let me tell you.
Oh, you crazy.
That's for Austin too. That's not just for me.
Okay. That's honestly, it sounded more like Austin and Vaughn, right? What are you gonna play on your guitar? I took this picture of Vaughn and Austin that's going to hang on the Wall of Fame at some point.
That's my new Facebook cover photo too.
Was that Sunday night?
Wait, was that the black and white one?
It's the black and white one.
Is that the pot? That's the podcast image. I want to see it.
It's beautiful.
God. Are you clothed?
I could drop. We're all clothed, but I mean,
you can put it on the pot.
The way we're looking at each other,
it's like you want to throw fisticuffs, bro? Is that what you want to do? That's what it kind of looks like is about to happen. It's like
it's a meeting of the minds. They were discussing important things, and I just sat there like a fly on the wall until I got the right one.
You know what he told me after that? I'm pretty sure. Some
pictures in the convention talk board on our Discord.
Yeah, what'd you say, Vaughn?
I think the next words that came out of his mouth after you left that room, Mustin, was he said, like, I need, and this is not a joke. he looked at me dead in the eyes and said, I need 800 calories of dessert right now. And then we went and bought like a bunch of ice cream.
Where'd you That's not even that much dessert, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he had more than 800 calories of ice cream, but he had a lot of ice cream.
I can't wait to put all my media together. I've got all these great Polaroids. I'm looking at Cat, looking at Genesis and Shay, and Shane was so good to see.
Yeah,
and the Super Star Bros.
House and Shane at the Big Goron show. I was like, I love those guys so much.
That fucking Gore ensemble was great.
Yeah, it was incredible.
God, it was so JMR, like he chased me down. He's like, listen, I did the visuals for this show. I really want this to be like the breakout show of the weekend. I'd really like you guys to be there. So I went, and oh my God, was he right? That was an insane show.
Yeah, that was a great one. They were like, they had like big Saturday morning cartoon energy. It was great.
Oh, they did a Mystical Ninja freaking thing that they did on for DoD song. Oh my God, that soundtrack.
I was like, is that Mystical Ninja? I asked someone and they were like, I don't know. And I looked it up and I was right. And I showed them like it meant something.
That soundtrack is so good.
Like, cool. I was like, no, I got it right.
Grant, are you Joe Pesci right now?
I mean, I'm Joe Pesci. I had to change it. I've never even watched SpongeBob. I'm not going to leave. I was like, what am I doing? So this is more appropriate.
I love SpongeBob, but I also have Home Alone memorized. We broke the tape, and we had to buy a new one. I can do every line.
You know, we'll do that next VGMCon.
Yeah, that would be a panel. Watch Mustin recite Home Alone from memory.
Well, look, that's what Alexander Brandon used to do.
Exactly.
Like Jaws.
If I get any word wrong, you could throw a pretzel or a popcorn at me.
I'd go to that panel.
That's pretty good.
That's actually a Guab's thing right there.
So Vaughn, that's a panel for next year, right? Mustin recites Home Alone from memory.
I'm writing that down.
While playing the Home Alone video game.
Now the one-ups have to learn the Home Alone theme.
Man, that's one of John Williams' best, dude.
True.
I was going to say, that's like John Williams' top five, so that's pretty straightforward.
Absolutely, dude. For me, definitely.
You got to funk it up, man. You could do
Just
it.
Just mash it up with the game.
Bro, I can make that a hell of a trap beat.
Do it.
Oh, you already got the distortion, right?
Yep, thank you. I'm no stranger to hoopties. The drunk rattle.
Oh, man.
You know, Vaughn, you did say about the VGM con when you were describing it earlier, about like about games and being about music. And I don't contradict that, but man, there's just nothing that comes close to the music. I mean, it's called Video Game Music Con, right?
Video games and music, I guess. We did put an end in there officially.
Yeah. And
it is obviously music. The music kind of weighs that out a little more. But we're working on it. We're working on like we're trying to do more stuff. Like, I don't know if anyone got to catch the alto clef crew battle where I take five of my best in Smash Bros versus Sean R. Hansen and the anti-alto brigade and their five best, and it's all musicians. So none of us are that good.
We're not like, what was the result? Did they three-peat?
They got the three-peat. They've won three times now. I'm devastated. I don't know what to do. I'm still kind of reeling.
Get good.
Vaughn, did you see the random like Baguette meetup thing?
Like, a bunch of people dressed
up in like French outfits, and I guess they had baguettes, and there was like a group of them.
Oh, must have been Expedition 33.
Expedition 33, man. Come on, get with the times, old man.
They did that at MAGFest, too. There's at least three
covers from that game.
Dude, this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I was curious. I saw two cosplayers. I didn't see any of the music. But yeah.
Very strange to just walk around and have baguettes and berets and then offer people food. But what's much more strange is me going, oh, hell yeah, and then just taking random food from people and under the table wine, and I'm eating bread and cheese and wine.
May I offer you a baguette in these trying times?
Man, yeah, just, I'm like, man, this is VGM Con rules. This place is crazy.
Look, it's no different than, hey, man, you want a beer? It's like, hey, man, you want a baguette?
Yeah, but that's sealed. This person just ripped the piece of bread off and handed it to me, and I'm spreading on cheese. And it's a spot, though, because I needed a little snacky-poo. So
how many times at MAGFest have you been handed a mystery flask?
Never.
Really?
I think I handed...
What?
Mustard, how many times
my flask?
How many times
have you given me your flask?
Yeah.
So Mustard, how many times at MAGFest has Joe Cam handed you bacon?
Now that has happened. I think I was on stage and Vert put it in my mouth.
Dirty tongs. Ass stage bacon. Ooh, bug, that's dirty bad.
Stage bacon.
He had tongs.
Oh yeah, yep. Dirty ass tongs that maybe fell on the floor. You never know.
God, that's an arcane memory you just fucking dredged up there.
Name of the episode's going to be Dirty Stage Bacon.
Video pizza thing. Jesus.
the pizza thing?
Bert had the video pizza on, like, God, that'd have been MAGFest, like, 6? The just a projector with the nonstop fucking hour-long loop of a pizza fucking...
Oh, God, yeah. And that was like right before they started doing the actual food.
Started with the dog or the bacon?
It started with the bacon, and then it was meatballs, and then hot dogs.
And the dogs.
Joe, I forget. How did you even get away with?
I'm about to eat that ass.
Exactly.
Like, Joe, I forgot how you even got away with like cooking bacon. Like in the hotel like that, or was it
was
just
right
rogue?
Outside. It was directly outside the concert hall.
We had hot plates.
We had, cause Taras is the one who was doing all the cooking. We had everything set up outside. They had a microphone next to the pan of bacon sizzling. So you just heard it sizzling all through the concerts.
Oh my God. This is fucking, you're just dredging this stuff up. Holy shit.
The microphone, that was so funny. And of course the smell just took everyone.
That was
we've seen some stuff over the years, man.
So what are the one-ups gonna cook at their next VGMCon performance?
No, I'm not gonna mess with that, man. I'm gonna deliver a multimedia orgasm. I want everybody to walk away speechless. And these are the old guys. I've seen them around. They have gray in their beards. But there's a reason they're still here.
I've got gray in my beard.
See Alice.
So Joe, see idea. We just do the food for the one-ups, and it's going to be cupcakes that look like one-up mushrooms.
Nice. That'd be good.
Jesus Christ, I have a lot of white in my face, too.
Grant, what did you and Arcadian do? Fruit snacks you threw out?
Oh yeah, Snoop Fracks. We just threw candy at people. It wasn't Cialis. That's really funny though. But yes, yeah. We threw sealed packages of fruit snacks.
There you go, sealed. See, I handed out condoms.
I still have
condoms out there.
I do too.
Some people don't.
Did anybody eat them?
I mean, if you want an everlasting chew,
I didn't. They taste like shit. Let me tell you.
That's weird.
I still have a one-ups condom sitting on my shelf.
I bet it's still good.
Mine's in my guitar case permanently.
It's definitely not good. Please read your expiration dates on your prophylactics. That's my PSA for today, my friend.
No, I'm just using it as like one of the, what do you call those things you put in for, like the little packets, the do not eat things? What do you call those things?
The desiccant. Silica gel.
Desiccant packet is just a one-ups condom that says it's alone. Wait, don't go. Oh, fuck, was it? It's a Zelda. It's don't.
It's dangerous to go alone.
Dangerous to go in alone. Don't take this, or I don't even know. Yep. It's been a long time, but it's in my case. If the art's worn off, I imagine so.
Because of the not Pavlovian. What is that one? The when you know something so much, people. I would say read it, and they would say it's dangerous to go alone. Take. And I was like, no. Read it again.
Yeah,
I would say it's dangerous to go in alone. Oh, okay, I get it.
The Mandela effect.
Mandela effect, yeah.
Hey, Greg, can you just use it as a floppy guitar pick?
If I just keep it wrapped, I might be able to actually use it as a strumming implement.
Yeah,
just like fold it in half.
Use the corner.
Yeah.
Folded.
There you go. It is gold.
I'll do my best.
Vaughn, you mentioned some things, but do you have any other like big wish things that might happen for next year? Maybe get Koji Kondo to do a synth set.
Ooh, that would be crazy. I mean, we've had a couple near misses with like, you know, Grant Kirkhope and people like that. That would be pretty cool to net in a super big composer like that. Especially if they fit the theme. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that fits the theme. It's just essentially a Ren Fest at a VGM con. So that would be pretty cool. Selfishly, since I play in a string quartet, I want to see all the string quartets back and then make like a super string quartet of all of the VGM string quartets.
Oh my quartet God. Of quartets?
16 of us all playing. That'd be wild.
Yeah, you, Triforce, Fideri, like, I mean, it'd be nuts.
Don't they call that an orchestra?
That is just an orchestra.
Chamber.
No, it's not.
But if you get all of them together and play Excite Bike, then the world will shatter. And that's my, well, I would love to see that.
I'd love to see, and like, four cellos playing unisons. I'm game. Y'all figure that out. Make it happen, Vaughn. It's your turf.
All right. I got this. Don't worry. I'm getting to work right away.
Can we force Tiberian Sons to come and do Three Aces again?
Ooh, baby.
You do it live, Chris? Do your parts live?
You know, okay, I could do that more live than I could do Bike Kid live, because that's way too much.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, if Metroid Metal, Tiberian Sons, and the 1UPs are all playing next year, I guarantee I'm there.
You'll walk.
Good luck hearing,
I'll fucking good luck walk hearing
any one to. Of us.
Is that in writing? Do we have that in writing?
All what three. Else could you get all three there, and I'll be at VGM Con next year.
Bring the bacon.
We've all seen the big composers.
We'll have to DoorDash the bacon.
The big music shows that involve like composer or famous people or whatever, but I'm trying to think of what else could be done that would be new, quote unquote, some sort of innovative thing.
I saw someone earlier on YouTube run a kazoo through a distortion pedal.
Oh, well, that's it. This is peak. We have reached singularity.
It was actually pretty great.
All right, Grant, you're going to have to send me that video because I want to see that. But on that note, we do have to wrap up this conversation. We have more show that we got to take care of. Do any of you have... We'll go down the list and get your final thoughts on the weekend. So, Scott, we'll start with you. What are your final thoughts on the VGMCon weekend? How did you enjoy it this year? And what would you rate it on a scale of 1 to fuck yeah?
It's definitely a fuck yeah. This year was big for me. After being a lurker for a while, I made it to the stage in a roundabout way. I did a collab with Theology. He played our collab on the set, on the boss stage
Saturday night. Yeah.
So that was fucking dope. I was so excited that I ran on stage. I bum rushed the stage. I had to make it about me and that. it kind of sparked something that's been, you know, bugging me in the back of my mind for a while. I need to like dust off the cobwebs and get some shit together, make it on stage for real. But, you know, about 6 years ago, I did something really dumb and two kids, and now I'm just a snack bitch for them. it's hard to do fucking music with other people, especially G-Grant. I'll figure something out. I'll get up there some.
Right on.
I actually had the idea of jumping on the bandwagon of doing a microtonal math rock.
Oh, shit.
There you go. Something called like Engine de PlayStation.
Good Lord. Blake, give us your final wrap-up on the weekend.
Despite all odds on things, we pulled off just an extremely kick-ass convention. I mean, it's always a lot of work. I always want to give a shout-out to a lot of the crew that I helped bring in, and we all just work our asses off, and just we make things what they are. I caught myself walking down the hallway at one point, and I just had a shit-eating grin on my face and realizing, damn, man, this is what we're doing. We're bringing all these people together. And it's just, makes my heart warm and makes me want to cry sometimes. Final thought, though. Does anybody maybe want to see pinball machines next year? Okay, that's fun.
Yes.
Every year, Arcadian's like, you think they'll have pinball machines this year? And I'm like, they don't have an arcade. Why are you asking that question? So you can prove me wrong next year.
Well, I own two machines, and maybe I'll own more by then. So we'll see.
What two do you own?
I own a 1990 Simpsons, and I own a 2020 Jurassic Park.
Damn. Those are good.
And now, because Grant's all like, oh, look at me, I made pinball music. I'm like, great, now I got to get an avatar. I also want Stranger Things.
Nice. Stranger Things Mustin, is what I want. Your final thoughts on the weekend.
I go last, or Vaughn. Skip. Oh,
okay, Doug, give us your thoughts. What'd you think of the weekend? How much fun did you have?
Oh, God. So, like, 4 years ago, I think it was, Flick was supposed to come down to Florida, and we're going to hang out. It's going to be cool. And then he showed us up. So it was real sad. But then Flick was like, hey, man, you guys should come to VGM Con. And it was like March when he wanted Cameron was going to come to Florida. So it was not on the cards for that year. But when the next year rolled around, we bought lifetime passes, sight unseen, ready to go. And yes. That was one of the best choices that we have ever made ever. That is just incredible. I will go every single year that I am willing to or able to, you know, physically able to. It is such a spiritual experience, and I always come back from it so inspired and so fired up to work on more things. So, like, it's invaluable. It's the best.
Mr. Henry, your thoughts?
It's me. This trip was actually a gift to my brother. Because he worked really hard this past MAGFest running sound for bands and performing in their Arcadian with a stress fracture in his foot. He was riding a scooter around. So I hit up all the bands that he's ever mixed at MAG, and they all donated. And we sent him to VGM Con and got his badge and got his, like, quarter of a hotel room. And so it was really fun for me to be able to see Adam, be able to experience this, because he played it in 2020 with Lonely Rolling Stars, but he hasn't been back. So that was the big perk for me. Obviously, I checked some boxes off of my own list with the panel and stuff. I am disappointed that I feel like, just like with MAGFest, there's a lot of people you don't get to spend enough time with. And I feel like the people on this call are people I would have loved to have spent at least a few more minutes with, a few more beers with, but that's just how these things go. And I'll just mention and say, Vaughn, thanks for, like, you and Austin creating the event I won't miss every year. So there you go. It was a good one. See you next year, Joe.
All right, Vaughn, your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, this year felt like the word that keeps bouncing around in my head is like a triumph. Like, we, like, so many things went so well, and, you know, if even half of the stuff that went well went this well, I'd be, I think, pretty pleased. But it just felt like in so many dimensions, this VGM Con in particular will, I think, be really special. And, like, seeing the energy in the Discord and the people hanging out Sunday night, Monday morning, like, this just never ending, you know, sort of send off for people. Yeah, I think it's left me really humbled at what we've done, that, you know, so many people call this convention sort of like a convention home now. And it's, yeah, really inspiring to see. And we're already, like, the whole team is so, we're usually exhausted, but we're so, like, energized right now of just all these ideas running around in our heads and what we want to do next year and what to improve, who to get. And yeah, it's super, super exciting. So yeah, definitely be there. I can tell you the dates. I memorized them. April 16th through 18th, 2027 in Plymouth, Minnesota.
I see if I'm busy that weekend. No, my schedule looks pretty open.
Joe.
Yeah, my schedule looks pretty open. I'm going to have to do that.
Joe, have you ever been kidnapped before?
Not yet, no. Can you start?
Y'all joke about, y'all are joking about that, but I bought tickets, I think it was the 1st of October last year, for my daughter for a gift. To go take her to the Square Enix concert that's going to be traveling starting in May. And I bought the tickets for April. This was in October of last year. I bought the tickets for April of 2027.
Good
so
Lord.
Two Christmases have to go by before she gets this gift.
That's crazy.
And I think I told Austin in a conversation, I said, if it's on April 10, I'm going to punch you so hard in the kidney. And I'm so glad that it's not.
Oh, yeah.
So my, but am I, this is the last one. I
Yeah, go for it, Mustin. You've got the floor.
I say often how I am the luckiest person in the world because bad things will happen to me, but I always come out on top and I sit here and fidget with my everlasting gobstopper that I have. And I think about being lucky, and I almost didn't make it last year because I had car trouble, but then I pulled it off because I had some mystery airline credit. And people that had the stuff to help me put it together, Flick and I use almost the exact same keyboard so I could pull off our show. Nanali let us borrow her bass, and now I bought the same bass that she has because I freaking love it. So getting to go to VGMCon is so super important to me. It's the only thing that I make it a point to go to every single year. And that is so easy to do because and I also had car trouble this year, but I had an angel who stepped up and helped me get that fixed because they knew how much I'd been talking about it for the past 6 months, and they wanted me to have a good time, and they're just a wonderful person for doing that. Because I show up, and everybody's happy to be there. The people who are volunteering are just all wonderful, everybody. And there were so many more people to help that everybody was having just the best time, and no one was having to hustle, but I did see Olivia, this girl that was running all the time, but she had a Cheshire smile on her face. She was so happy to do it and be helping out. And like Vaughn was saying, the staff wasn't as stressed, and nobody gets snippy because the stress isn't that high, and it's just such a great, great, great place to be. And I will always be there unless I'm missing something just unbelievable, and I'm just so thankful to go, and I really appreciate everybody who volunteers and staffs it, and the odd yet lovable hotel staff and everybody who puts it together. It's just wonderful, and I'm so thankful, and I always wish that I had more time with everybody. But I just will say I will see you next year.
Well said.
Very good.
Hell yeah.
All right.
We're going to put it on again. Note, it's going to be great.
On that note, we are going to let everybody get going. I want to thank everyone for coming on, hanging out, chatting with us about VGMCon. I really hope I could get there again next year. I guess if three bands are there, I have to be there. But it was such a fun experience when I was there. And if I could make a flight happen, and if I'm comfortable sitting in a seat again, I think I can make it happen again.
We'll get you.
We believe in you.
Yep.
Some of the best motivation you can get.
Yep.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Seeing all you friends that I love so much. But we will let you all get going. Unless you want to hang around and talk news with us, because we got news and reviews we got to take care of. But otherwise, have a
wonderful night. I got World of Warcraft keys to push, so I got to go.
Nice.
I'm going to go keep unpacking all this crap I brought to VGMCon. Damn it.
Mm. You know, there is one more weird thing. I don't know what it is. I sometimes have superstitions that I never tell anybody, but there's just something about this that's just kind of happened over the past few years. I don't go to bed until the lobby is empty, like I'm some sort of VGMCon Batman, and I can't sleep until I know that everybody is at rest, and now that they're at rest, I can at rest too. It's just a strange thing. So getting these pictures of the empty, at Thursday was 3:30, Friday was 4:20, Saturday was 7:45. It's just, I don't know what it is. I want to be there, not miss any of it. I think that's what it is. And that speaks volumes, because I get tired at other conventions. But this one, I'm still amped. And it's Thursday.
Dude, I get tired like watching wrestling anymore. I need naps all the time.
Well, you'll be there right alongside me next year.
Rock on.
Thanks so much for having me, and it was great talking to y'all again post VGMCon.
Indeed. Hugs to everyone, and have yourselves a wonderful night.
Good night.
Now I
can rest.
We'll see you around, Joe. Thanks for the invite.
Laters. All right, and with that, we got news. You ready for news?
Yeah.
I guess.
I think the big news of the week, Xbox has announced Game Pass Ultimate is dropping in price from $29.99 a month to $22.99 a month. The big change, Call of Duty is no longer going to be in Game Pass on launch, but will show up the following year. Game Pass PC is also dropping from $16.49 to $13.99.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It's there's also some speculation flying about that they are going to look into testing an a la carte system of Game Pass pricing. I would be very
interested in that.
I'm excited to see if, and that's some reputable people saying that could be happening as a test. I think that would be a good one.
Give me the games. Let me get rid of the Fortnite and we're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even care about the Call of Duty. Like, what the fuck ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a slippery slope, and I'm worried that it's going to lead to other first party games getting like, oh, well, Halo doesn't count now. Like that, you know, Forza, that's not going to be day one anymore. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
On the bright side, there were a bunch of day one games announced for Game Pass. We got the lineup for the next 2 weeks announced, and it's pretty packed. There are 5 day one launches in the next 2 weeks.
Very nice.
Yeah. April 21st, we got Vampire Crawlers, the Turbo Wild Card from Vampire Survivors.
All right.
Nifty.
Today on the 23rd, Kiln.
Nice.
New game from Double Fine. Next week on the 28th, Aethelion is a day one launch.
Ooh.
Very nice.
April 29th, Trepang 2.
Meh. Ooh, cool.
Yep. April 30th, we got Terra Tech Legion, and then two more day ones with Heroes of Might and Magic Olden Era on PC and Sledding Game hitting game preview.
Okay.
Yeah. And then May 5th, Final Fantasy V.
Yay!
Yay! Nice. Not all good news, though. Games got to leave Game Pass, and there are a chunk leaving. Like a big chunk. We got Citizen Sleeper, Creatures of Ava, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Endless Legend on PC, Goat Sim and Goat Sim Remastered, Hunt Showdown 1896, Revenge of the Savage Planet, and NHL 24 leaves EA Play.
There's a couple of good ones in there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearty lineup.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the good comes the bad, and I think I'm better with the games coming in than the games leaving. I think it's a net positive on our end.
All right.
Fair.
Today, yes. There was an ID at Xbox showcase. A bunch of games were not announced, but talked about. There were a lot of reveals of games coming to console or new info on them. We'll just go down it quick. There are no Ghosts at the Grand. No new date announced yet, but the game looks great.
Yep.
I am excited for that. That looks so cute.
Vapor World Over the Mind is coming out in June.
Nice.
That one looked cute. Mistfall Hunter. It's a PvPvE extraction action RPG.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It is. And I still don't know. Star Seeker Astroneer Expeditions has an April beta going on. I'm not too sure about the info on that, but...
Okay.
That looked like a great game.
That's a me and my friend game, yeah.
Yeah.
Told you.
Aethelion next week. Got a new trailer there. Yeah. A new game announced called Lofsong. This one looked cute. It reminded me of like Journey.
Yeah, it did have the movement system of that. Fair enough.
But with like a little Lego minifigure. Albion Online is now on console, and it had a fucking hilarious trailer.
That was probably, in my opinion, that was probably the best trailer that was shown.
Yeah, it was very funny. Very good sense of humor there. Vampire Crawler's out now, which we just mentioned is on Game Pass. Echo Generation 2 hitting May 27th. Yay!
I'm excited for that one.
Very excited for this one as well. Aki was excited until she saw the card combat.
Yeah.
I'll deal. Tears of Metal is a hack and slash roguelike coming to Game Pass, quote, soon.
Yeah, that seemed kind of interesting.
Yep. Crash Out Crew, May 28th on Game Pass. Looks to be a good friendship ender.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another good friendship ender will be RV There Yet, which is hitting console in May, and it will be on Xbox.
Nice.
Very excited about that one. That will surely cause problems. I would love to get the four of us together on that one.
Yeah.
And see what hell happens.
Yeah.
And who quits? Yeah.
I know everyone's excited for this one. Escape Academy 2 is coming out later this year.
Yes.
There's a new social life sim with obstacle courses called Totopia, supposedly coming next year.
Okay.
It looked interesting with the obstacle. Like, I was excited that maybe it was a new Fall Guys style game, and then it was life sim, and I'm like, what the
Yeah.
I don't know. Solo Leveling Arise Overdrive will be hitting Xbox on console in Q3. It is available on PC now.
I am excited for that. That game looked kick-ass.
Yep. Another life sim with Bistro is going to be coming. Yay. A store sim called Income Beanie, or Income Beanie? Is that it?
Income Beanie, yeah. Yeah.
That's out next week on the 30th.
That looks good.
A new 3D platformer called Kalanoro comes out in the summer.
Okay.
Speedrunners 2, King of Speed, launches in July. So if you're a Speedrunners fan, we got a new game coming. This fall, Golf with Friends 2. Hell yeah.
Yay.
Where's Lloyd? Does he know about that? Did he hear about that?
He knows all about it. Yeah.
Where is he still in the background? Is he hiding there? No, Lloyd!
Lloyd! He went back to his hotel. Sorry. Oh. We all have an early day tomorrow, so.
Bah. And then finally, Screenbound still looks amazing. That is the 3D platformer with the 2D handheld. Still no date, but it looks incredible.
Yeah.
A couple of other quick news bits. Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced was officially confirmed by Ubisoft.
Yay!
Coming out July 9th will be $59.99. There will be a collector's edition for $199.
I looked at some of the side-by-side comparisons, and it looks pretty damn good.
It does.
Yeah.
I hope it turns out well. Horizon 5 has hit 5 million units sold on the PS5.
Cool.
Yeah, so it shows that this this multi-platform approach is at least working with the live service games. Apparently, Avowed didn't do too well, though. So
that's
a shame. Finally, Pragmata has sold 1 million copies in only 2 days.
Nice.
Elliot, we'll be talking about that one soon. Aki, what news do you have?
I don't got shit.
Bree,
it's movie watch.
Oh shit, you gotta Where is it? It's movie watch. There.
One of these days I have to learn to use the soundboard. I do. I'll get there.
There's a little soundboard icon down there. You just click on it under where the voice connected is. It's the one all the way on the right.
I still don't see it.
No.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, there's too many things.
You're gonna have to look through it, find it, and like add it to your favorites.
Or throw up all the way on the right. Of the SML podcast ones.
I know, I saw it for a second and then I lost it. And yep. All right. Well, anyway, the news is Call of Duty movie.
No. We made it this far. You're gonna find that fucking button. We're doing this. We're doing button. This. Is gonna happen.
All right.
We're doing this together.
Yay!
Wrong one.
It's movie watch.
There you go.
There.
All right. So the Call of Duty movie is supposedly set to release on June 30th of 2028.
Nifty.
That's the thing. Yep. That's all the news I have on that.
We had a button for that one.
Yay!
Yeah. And then there's another movie release date listed for Alex Garland's Elden Ring live action adaptation is supposedly coming out March 3rd of 2028. Production starts soon, and they have a few cast members being announced.
It already started.
It started, yes. All right.
They've started filming.
Okay, good. Well, they've got Kit Connor, Ben Whishaw, Kaylee Spaney, Tom Burke, and Havana Rose Liu. I'm sure I butchered people's names, but those are some of the actors listed in the top pile of people. I can word.
So can I.
I agree.
That's all the news I have.
Very good. Jacob, what's going on your end?
He pooped.
I mean, earlier I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. How'd that go?
It went all right.
Nice. Yeah. He's alive, so it didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Very true.
You know, very true. And my beehole isn't itchy afterwards, so, you know, it was a good wipe, too.
So what news do you have?
Yeah, I don't think I actually have any video game news for this week, because Bree talked about the movie watch thing with Elden Ring, and that's really all I had, too. Although, I do want to talk about something really awesome. Guess how I spent 420?
High, I would hope.
Sober.
Oh,
I'm sorry. What?
Because, hold on. Because I let my kids skip school that day, drove them to King of Prussia, took them to see an IMAX presentation of Speed Racer.
Oh, hell yeah. You were talking about doing that.
Yeah.
I watched Speed Racer recently. That's a good movie.
That was awesome as hell. Like, yeah.
How many times did you black out, Aki?
None, surprisingly. I expected that movie to be the most seizure-inducing fucking mess. The only thing I really, really couldn't watch was basically the entire last race.
I couldn't really
watch any of that. But other than that, I was able to watch almost the entire rest of that film without even looking away. I was really happy.
That's cool.
And that is the most anime fucking live-action film I've ever seen. And I'm so happy about that.
And it was one of the cool things too about seeing it in IMAX is because I've seen the movie plenty of times, but this was the first time I've ever gotten to see it in IMAX. And so I was able to pay attention more to the backgrounds and the crowds and drink in the locations of it. And it was just it's phenomenal, especially when you're watching the cars move across the track and some of the scenes, it looks like a kid's playing with his Hot Wheels, or their Hot Wheels. Yeah. Shouldn't genderize that, but it's just fantastic. Like, it goes from this hyper realistic to a cartoon to literally Billy age 8 playing in his backyard. Just fucking beautiful. If you have a chance to go see it in the theater, please do.
Maybe. You can't make me, though.
No, I obviously can't make you. But there should be showings this weekend, so in your area, so you should go see it.
I think our local movie theater has Mario Galaxy going.
Wow.
Again, we just have like a one screener in town. It's just a tiny little
thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they get things in later, and yeah, it's only like $7 to go. So
yeah.
Good. Should we do reviews?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right, let's dive into these. First up, Pragmata, developed, published, provided to us for the purpose of this coverage by Capcom. Thank you, Capcom. Aki, say thank you.
Thank you.
Released April 17th, Series X and S, PS5, PC, $59.99. Capcom's newest IP, Pragmata. It is the near future, and protagonist Hugh and his android companion Diana must work together as they make their way through the cold lunar research station. Aki, what is going on in this game?
Fuck if I know in its entirety, but you play as Hugh, and he has gone up to the moon because basically he's part of a maintenance crew, and something has gone wrong there, so they've been sent to go figure out what the fuck is going on to hopefully fix it and get in touch with everybody. Almost immediately after entering, shit goes down, and Hugh's the last one left. But, and he's saved by a young girl, and she happens to be a robot. So, cool. She is the most adorable thing I think I've seen in the past, I don't know, my whole life, maybe. and, yeah, throughout this game, you're basically running and gunning against various types of robots because the AI system that runs this place seemingly has gone crazy and possibly killed everybody, because you don't find any people around, but you do sure seem to find a whole fuck ton of crazy robots that want to murderize you into tiny pieces. Some of them are humanoid, called walkers. Others are not, and they some of them look kind of like four-legged spider things. Others look like giant balloons of death. You know, there's a lot of different visual designs, and then they get upgrades and they just change color. but basically, you're working with an automatically ammo recharging pistol, as well as specialized guns that you can find around that have very, very limited amounts of ammo, as well as Deanna's hacking ability, because all the robots are, wouldn't you guess, made of metal. Bullets aren't exactly the best thing to use against giant metal hulking behemoths, you know? So whilst you're aiming at enemies, you can control, you start hacking, and you can control it with by pushing different buttons, and this is all real time, so enemies are still coming at your ass while you're doing this, but once you're able
to... I really liked the hacking mechanic.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, it is fun. I'm still enjoying it, but basically, when you hack them, it ends up opening a lot of their internal stuff, allowing you to do more damage with your guns. And I mean, it goes from, like, I'm doing, like, 12 damage a shot to I'm doing 100 and something damage a shot.
It's like chip damage to normal damage. I like it because you have to do it while you're aiming, so it's kind of like an active mechanic that you got to do where you're aiming and then using the face buttons as a D-pad to maneuver around, and you could like power up the hack if you go through certain blue ones, and I'm guessing they throw other weird shit at you later on in the game.
Yeah, you end up getting other hacking tools that basically you can slot a couple of them in at a time, and they're also very limited use items, and they can debuff enemies in various different ways depending on what you have equipped, which ends up being very nice. But yeah, so you're going through different biomes because this is a giant circular station, And the tram system leads you from one section to the next, and you have to basically unlock each one in order, because the crazy AI is a little bastard and has locked it all up. So you're basically going from biome to biome, destroying everything, getting to the end of an area, fighting a boss to unlock the next section. And whilst you're doing that, sometimes you'll find little puzzles around. Eventually, you start getting different abilities that you can use, as well as different abilities that Deanna can use. You sometimes find... Depends on what language you're using.
The one in the game where he says, yeah, Diana.
If you're doing it in English, yeah. I don't play it in English. You should know that. Anyways,
my sister's name is Deanna. It's D-E-A-N-N-A. This is D-I-A-N-A.
Yeah, again, it depends.
I'll fight you on this one. My sister's name is Deanna. I know how it's spelled. I'll fight you on this one. I will throw down. I will drop the gloves.
Yeah, but I'll win, so it doesn't really matter.
No, you won't. I can mute you.
Yes, I will. Well, good luck with that, motherfucker. So, yeah, other than that, you also occasionally find little collectible things that you can give Deanna, and it's super cute, because she will interact with them as you give them to her as gifts, because basically the system 3D prints this stuff for her, and, like, one of the first couple of things you can find is a set of crowns, and she starts drawing pictures for you, and as you continue to give her stuff and talk to her, as well as getting further through the game, she'll start drawing other pictures and give them to you, and they end up getting plastered on the side of your upgrade benches, and it's super fucking cute. She's the most adorable thing I've ever seen. And yeah, some of the extra weaponry you can find is, like, there's a gun that shoots out a decoy version of you. There's a giant electric net that you can shoot at enemies to stun lock them for a little bit. A shotgun, which is, like, my favorite fucking weapon. Homing missiles. There's all sorts of shit. It's great. And yeah, one of the most interesting items for this is some of the ways you unlock stuff. Because, yeah, you can buy some of the stuff in the little shop that you have access to, and you get some of it from finding it in the world from various chests. But there's also what they call a bingo card system, and a little robot inside your home hub basically brings up cards, and occasionally you unlock more by finding an upgrade for this robot. And you get coins every so often. Every time you, for instance, every time you give Deanna a new gift, she gives you one of these coins. You also find them throughout the world, and I think they drop from a couple boss enemies and stuff too. But you put them in that, and it unlocks various things. Sometimes it's like, oh, here's a model for a 3D model of this enemy robot, and you can go to a terminal and view it, kind of like in Resident Evil and stuff, seeing the different character models. Or here's a new upgrade that you can equip to yourself, or here's a completely different outfit that you can equip to yourself or Deanna. And stuff like that ends up being really cool, because even sometimes some of those are actually locked off, and you have to go do something specific to unlock it, so that you can start getting those items as well. It's really cool. I really like it. It is sometimes kind of a pain in the ass, but it is really fun to do. And yeah. Questions?
This game is so goddamn good looking. I'm playing on prioritize frame rate because I like smooth looking games, and yep, this game, like, holy God, this is a good looking game.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a single dip in quality, even that though I'm playing has been on great performance. And it is absolutely fucking gorgeous.
And I think the most shocking thing is that this is not an $80 game. This is not a $70 game. It's a $60 game. So this is like normal ass game price. $60 on this one. What do you think?
Oh, I'm 100% for this. This is probably going to be one of my favorite games this year. This is has been just so fucking fun, and every interaction between Hugh and Deanna is just the absolute best thing I've seen in so long. Because, like, Hugh isn't, like, a dad, but the moment he starts interacting with her, you just see that almost immediately unlocks is like, okay, now I'm a dad, and I have to deal with this. It's so cute.
There's also a deluxe edition of the game that includes the Shelter Variety Pack. That pack is available separately for $15, includes outfits for Hugh and Deanna, a weapon skin, some soundtrack additions, gestures, and an artwork section in your data library. Your thoughts on everything here?
I do not have access to the deluxe pack stuff. However, I have seen the outfits in it. They're super cute. And all the music and stuff, I'm sure, is unlocked in the jukebox, which you get access to almost immediately upon starting the game. So I think it's... If you're going to get it, I would just suggest the deluxe edition, just to have the extra stuff, because they deserve the money. They did damn good with this game.
They did. It is very good to see a new IP come out and be successful.
So, yeah.
Let's hope sales back it up. Moving on, Jacob, I know you're tired, so we're just going to nail yours all the way through. Next up is The Empty Desk, developed by Cheesecake Games, published by Jandusoft. Released April 16th, Series X and S, PS5, PC, 1049. Every hallway, every turn in the office hides another nightmare. Immerse yourself in a psychological thriller with narrative adventure elements and unsettling details. Join Detective Bennett on his final case and uncover the dark secrets in a world where reality bends and sanity wavers. Jacob, what is The Empty Desk?
The Empty Desk puts you in the shoes of Detective Bennett, and, you know, it's the standard, he acts like standard noir detective, and of course, you know, he's, like, this is his last case before retirement. Like, what do you mean, Sarge, I retire in 2 weeks? Like, that's what opens up this thing. And you are sent over to investigate the Blackthorn building because the major owner or the owner of this major conglomerate, whatever, like white person Blackthorn, whatever his first name is, the CEO's dead, his daughter is missing. But presumed alive, but still missing, and her husband is nowhere to be found. Like, he's seemingly, like, fled. And so you have to figure out what the crap is going on, find Emily, hopefully, while you're doing all this kind of stuff. And, yeah, hopefully you can solve the case. So you get into this building, and which is like the headquarters of it, and it locks behind you, and you're now in communication with this woman who's going to give you hints and try to dig up some information for you, aka lore for the game. But it's really just you wandering around this huge-ass office building, being sufficiently creeped out on all these different levels and setups. There's plenty of stuff for you to like walk around and like look at and click on, and you'll get his interpretation of things. There's also like these little gold coins that you have to pick up. I don't know what they're for, to be honest. I assume it's for some sort of bonus thing, like at the end of it, or maybe tied to an achievement. But yeah, also, so while this game is kind of like a walking simulator, pretty much, it does have puzzles to it, but it also is a psychological horror, like I even call it, like, I don't want to call it a visual novel, but I mean, like, it kind of feels like one too, like a walking simulator visual novel. But anyway, crap. Where was I?
You were talking about how it's kind of like a psychological thriller mixed with.
Thank you. All right. So the thing is that when you start up the game, you actually have the option to do whether you want to do jump scares or not. It like the game doesn't like it doesn't judge you on it. It's just, I guess you don't get the jump scares. I don't know how stuff is presented then, because I allowed for the jump scares to happen. And yeah, like, I mean, it's nothing like that you're going to like piss your pants over, but like, you know, you're like, oh God, there's like this like one-eyed monster, you know, staring at me from out the window. Joe, put up your pants. Anyway. Anyway, so yeah, so as you're as you get further and further into this building, like, it just becomes more psychological, like, I don't know if I'd say disturbing, but it, like, it becomes very maze-like and very claustrophobic to a degree. But then it also throws in, like, loops. And so, like, you're going to be experiencing, like, the same path over and over again a few times as, like, you quickly realize, like, the shit's not going away and it's just getting worse. But yeah, so this is apparently going to be the first in like a much longer series, featuring the cases of Detective Bennett. But yeah, if we get more stuff like this, like, I'm definitely on board. Like, this was, it was a sufficiently creepy, game that, like, you know, I could do the one-handed gaming with it. And it kept me interested the whole time. Like, there's really not much that you can say about the story without spoiling it, which is why I've kind of avoided talking about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's just, like, it's a pretty chill yet crazy ride. And I do recommend playing with the jump scares on. It's just, they're not really that scary, but
your face is scary.
That's true. They could use me as a jump scare in the next game.
They could. N49 verdict.
Yeah, I'd say buy it. Like, this one's pretty cool, and I'm glad I got to check it out. And I look forward to more in this series.
Rock on. Next up, Arcade Archives 2, Konami GT, developed and published by Hamster Corporation. Released April 15th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Konami GT is a racing game released by Konami in 1985. Keep a close eye on your fuel gauge as you race through checkpoints, aiming to conquer all six grueling stages with beautiful shifting scenery, from coastal highways and arid wastelands to plains bathed in the sunset. Push the pedal to the metal and blast towards the finish line in a shower of glory. Jacob, is it a golden shower?
Not in my future. Unfortunately, mine is just straight up.
So you just got silver medals? It's just silver showers for you?
Is that old people peeing on you?
Yes, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, so I had about as much success with this game as I did with Final Lap. This is, of course, yet another really fast racing game. If you're used to using automatic transmission, you're screwed. Thankfully, the game, like, your two gears are, like, lower and higher. So, like, so thankfully it shouldn't be too much for you to manage, but of course for me it was. And you have these six different environments that you have to go through and make the checkpoints from, standard racing stuff. And the environments, like, at the end of each, like, stage, you enter in this tunnel, and of course, like, when you come out of it, like, you know, the background is totally different, and, you know, you used to be up in the mountains, now you're in the desert, next up you're going to be in this, like, kind of like city looking area, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, so you have to get from point A to point B, And along the way, it's entirely possible for you to run out of gas. I assume it's related to how fast your engine's going during this. But you have to pick up these little icons that have this. It says gas on it, but I don't know how to describe it. It looks like the metal from the Street Fighter logo from 1994, the movie, with gas on it. It's more hardcore than it needs to be. But anyways, you have to pick up these little gas tokens, and they will help ensure that you don't run out of gas before reaching the end of the area. Now you very well can blow up your car by hitting other cars or motorcycles, running it off the road and running into a cacti or a tree, looking at somebody wrong, sharpening your pencil the wrong way. Just about anything can really make your car explode. So that happened to me a lot. By having your car explode, believe it or not, it messes up with your time for completing the level.
Really?
No.
It's true. It's true.
How could they?
Your car blowing up slows you down.
I don't believe that at all.
So unrealistic. God.
So yeah, I did not have a lot of success on this, but I'm also used to doing automatic, but I am getting better at being able to shift in this game. So I am having more success in Final Lap, but it's a nice throwback playing with this. The graphics are they're on par with Outrun or the Dual Test Drive 2. Other racers from that time period. So if you honestly, if you like those kind of graphics and you're up for a challenge, I like this one. It'll stick around for a bit as I try to see if I can 1K this.
You won't. We should point out that if you are an international gamer, this game was known as Konami RF2 Red Fighter 2 from Japanese releases. It was actually published in Japan by Namco. Yeah, developed by Konami, published by Namco. That is odd. Looking back, it was also on part of Microsoft's Game Room for 360. That's neat.
Oh,
I didn't know that was on there. That's interesting. Clocks in at $10. What do you think of this one?
Totally worth it.
Cool.
This is a lot of fun. It's another great addition to the Arcade Archives series. So this one was a fun one, and I'm looking forward to the next one, which I forget what it's called. It's a beat 'em up, I think.
Yeah. You know what the console one was this week? Ninja Gaiden 3.
Oh, bitch, really?
Yeah.
Damn. So
Xbox can fucking publish the new Ninja Gaiden game, but we can't get the old ones on console archives. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Come on, guys. Make it happen.
Next up, One Button Games 5-in-1 Volume 6, developed by ABBA Games, published by Zetalon, released April 22nd on Xbox platforms, $5 each. You can get the 5-in-1 All Volumes bundle for $24.99, which includes all three stacks of all six volumes and all future releases. All five games are fast-paced and controlled with a single button. Who wants to start?
I can.
Go for it.
Easier if you just go down the list of games.
Yeah. So it's a series of games where you use one button to play. You can either hold or press to get results, and the individual game instructions will tell you what to do to each thing. Each volume in the series has five games in it that vary in style. Like the previous games, it has off-numbered achievements like 18s. It has 1-bit graphics and CRT filter and scan lines you can turn off. But yeah, the first game on my list is Screen.
I was going to go down the list on the store whatever. Page.
Yeah, go and do that list. That's fine, too.
Let's do store page. Frog!
Frog! Frog. It's a Frogger style game where you're trying to get across a large highway of moving vehicles. You hold to bend, which makes you appear like you're sticking out your tongue further and further the longer you hold. And when you release, you move to where your tongue was. If there's no car, you can go again. If there is, you're dead. It was simple, but annoying.
It moves way too fucking slow. Like the frog moves way too damn slow to get anything really done. And I just, like, I really fucking hated my time playing that game.
Yeah.
What about Snake One?
In this, you're a snake with a little V for a head. And when you tap the A button, you turn in the direction your V is pointing. And then you collect money or whatever it is on the screen. And it may change the direction of the V, so you need to pay attention to the direction you'll be turning and be quick about it. You can't hit the walls or the tail of the snake that gets bigger as you eat the money. It's a small space, and I'm not a huge fan of snake games, so meh.
I was having a hard time figuring out what made it exactly that the snake would turn a certain way.
Yeah.
So that, like, I found it pretty annoying that I couldn't figure that one out.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Screen. My bad.
All right. In this game, you have a little person in the bottom center of the screen, and half the screen is covered. You have a dotted line that automatically moves to aim at things you can shoot at by tapping the A button. And then you shoot little red aliens descending from the sky in randomized patterns, and every couple seconds... or when you're out of bullets on each side, your screen changes to the other side, and you have to act fast to aim and shoot so you don't let the aliens get to the bottom of the screen. But the stuff keeps moving on the opposite screen, so you really have to go fast. It was actually probably my favorite in the volume.
I really like the idea of this one. It took me longer than I care to admit, how the flipping between the screens worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a really challenging game. As I said, I like the idea of it. I don't know. I just need to get better at it.
Shocker.
No, I didn't. Like, honestly, I didn't mind. Like, I didn't mind this one.
All right. What about Ball Tour?
I was totally going to go look for that exact button. Your little person in this has a red ball in their head. And they move forward, up, and down slowly on their own, but holding the A button, move faster forward. And you try to avoid stars while collecting green balls or balloons or something. I didn't really like this one that much.
It's a Flappy Bird clone, except you're on the right side of the screen instead of the left. Yeah. I felt like the stars that you're not supposed to hit, or whatever they are, it felt kind of inconsistent, what qualified as getting hit and what didn't. It's Flappy Bird. You either like it or you don't. I didn't mind it, but I wasn't jazzed about it either.
Yeah.
Fair. How about Spear Rain?
It's a rain of spears falling from the sky, and amidst the rain is money. You want to dodge the spears, collect the money for points, and your little person constantly runs, and you can press the A button to turn the other direction or hold it to go slower and collect and dodge, respectively. I kind of like this one.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I didn't realize that if you held the button, it would slow them down, so now I'm going to have to go try that. But I had fun with it.
All right, full package is $5. What's everyone think of it?
I can give this a try. There wasn't as many in this one that I liked, in this collection, but you're getting the whole big bundle with all the stuff, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I mean, you're getting all the previous entries too. So
yeah,
well, that's if you buy the bundle for $24.99, if you buy the just volume six for $5, you just get volume six.
Yeah. But yeah, you get the bundle though. That's good. Yeah.
I was just going to ask, $25 on the bundle. We are now up to 18 games included in this bundle for $25.
It's pretty awesome.
A lot of achievement points. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd say go for it.
If you're after the achievement points, I'd say, yeah, it's worth it.
All right. And with that, Jacob, you are done. We will let you get going so you can go nappy, nappy, nap. We got a couple more to go, though. So do you have any final words?
I actually do have one thing I wanted to talk about real quick that I forgot to bring up during when we were discussing the news. And
it's Movie Watch. There.
So, you know how, like, theaters are doing, like, those mystery, like Mystery Mondays or whatever, or, like, Preview Wednesday or some shit like that, where, like, you pay, like, a small amount of money and you get to see some film that's, like, you know, either, like, about to release or it's, like, you know, 2 months away and, like, they're just trying to get, like, test audience ideas and stuff like that, or, like, figure out how it's, like, marketing and shit. This is the part where you're like, yeah, Jacob, I'm familiar with that idea.
I have no idea what the fuck that is, to be honest, because I don't have many movie theaters around me.
Oh, God, Breed, you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I have an idea, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm thankful that you have an idea. So Regal Cinemas is doing, like, they have Mystery Monday. So I don't know if it's every single Monday, but anyways, you pay $5 and this upcoming Monday's movie is rated R and its runtime is 1 minute or yeah, 1 minute, 1 hour and 56 minutes. Meanwhile, Mortal Kombat 2 is coming out in a couple weeks. It's rated R and has a listed runtime of 158. Also, there's going to be some sort of
biscuit.
Well, hold on. Apparently there's going to be a couple of Mortal Kombat themed events around the country for this movie on that day as well. So I'm like, I think I'm going to go spend my $5 and see if I can go, if I just nabbed myself a early showing of Mortal Kombat 2 before everyone else, or if I got stuck with some raunchy rom-com or something. I don't know. We'll find out. By the way, did you hear about the new Animal Farm film?
No.
No.
Oh my God. Apparently it is horrendous and it starts with a rap.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because George Orwell, you know.
So do you have any final words? Because we got more reviews.
Nah, I don't got anything. Have a good night and, you know, say your prayers and eat your vitamins and all that kind of shit.
Yay. Right.
Have a good night.
Next
up. What
the
fuck is the hang-up button? Oh, there it is.
What a wiener. He's in a hurry to leave, but then he has news. Next up, Cthulhu, The Cosmic Abyss, developed by Big Bad Wolf, published by Nacon, released April 16th, Xbox Series X and S, PS5, PC, $49.99. In this tense Lovecraftian thriller, you play as Noah, tasked with investigating the mysterious disappearance of miners in the depths of the Pacific Ocean. With the help of your AI companion, Key, explore the vast labyrinthine prison of Ryla, an ancient sunken city of cyclopean proportions. Jesus. And resist the creeping madness caused by Cthulhu's influence. At its core lies a secret that could shatter your understanding of reality. Bree, what's going on in this one?
Well, first thing to say about this game is that it is not an action game, if that's what you're looking for. This falls more into the first-person detective adventure category. It's a thriller, but it's got detective mechanics. So it's set in the near future where the effects of climate change are wrecking our world. There isn't any combat. You can take your time solving puzzles and absorbing the excellent atmosphere. The only real urgency in the game is created with the tense music, the eerie lighting, and the desire to go deeper into the story. You have two modes when you launch the game, investigation and exploration, and there are individual sliders you can adjust as well to tailor the difficulty of your experience. I wouldn't call myself a Lovecraftian horror expert, but I'm a pretty avid fan of the genre, and I feel like one of the strong points of this game is the tone and setting in connection to the source material is a good strong point. You investigate items, you can pin things. Objects you pick up can be observed and manipulated to find more clues than the item itself. And the world is really filled with detail. It's not pristine and manicured. It's full of grit and stuff to make it feel lived in and real. The game is told in chapters. Tutorials pop up as needed to describe new mechanics about investigations and deductions and things like that. But the story starts you out along the flooded Miskatonic River, where you have to get to most places via boat. You're trying to get a hold of one of the inhabitants of the town in their old house on the river. And we learn eventually that we're Noah Williams. We break into the house, like we're looking for clues. We find like scrawlings of a mad woman on paper and on the walls. And after some puzzle solving, we end up in a strange location, get attacked, lose half our hand, and then our mentor, and we make it to safety somehow. And then after some healing during a little credits cutscene, like intro credits, we awake to a bionic hand, and we're on our way to an underwater base. There's like an excavation that was happening, and now we need to investigate further to find out how it connects to the other experiences and knowledge that we just discovered with this woman who went mad. And we work for this company called Anseal as an agent, and we investigate the underwater base. They lost contact with it during this top secret excavation. And this is not a small operation. It's all underwater. So you do some swimming. We have to go quite deep in our dive suit. We break away into like a massive station, find some disturbance of things, some blood, some familiar mucus-filled sprawling fungal growth that we saw in the house on the river. And then we have to reboot the station. Yeah. To find a better idea of what happened. And meanwhile, we can explore some of the working tablets and unlock rooms to get an idea of the sort of things leading up to the disappearance of the research crew. Sorry, I'm like stumbling over my words here. I already took my pills and I'm falling asleep. But yeah, following a lead in the notes of the computer, we head to the actual dig site known as the maze. And back in the water, we can swim using our thrusters further down. There's evidence of foul play and more of the strange fungus, as well as some strange architecture underground in the ocean. And that leads to our first big investigation. And I would, you know, capital I there, because that's like a mechanic in the game, is the investigation. So you have an AI named Key that can help you with the investigations. Instead of a mine palace, you have like a digital space known as the vault. And in the vault, you can inspect clues, connect them with other clues, attach them to deductions for further answers. And then in the investigations, which are kind of like bigger things than that, there are two solutions for any given investigation. One strengthens the influence of the great old one and your corruption, and the other solution does the opposite. So it'll like heal your corruption. And you can only choose one solution for any given investigation. Another cool thing in this, you can ping objects of interest with a sonar as part of your investigative analysis. And then when you've identified some materials, you can set those as a favorite and like ping to look for them. So if you're looking for a puzzle piece or a piece of equipment to replace, you can like set it to titanium or alien rocks or whatever, and use a sonar to highlight the objects that you might have missed when exploring. Puzzles are really well done, but sometimes I felt a little lost as to where to go until I started using the sonar and the vault a little more. There is a corruption system I mentioned. It adjusts the results of your actions, and corruption is like a staple of Lovecraftian stories, or, you know, like role-playing games and things like that, representing the hold of the great old one on your mind and the descent into madness. Thankfully, there are actions you can take to reduce your corruption. And if you choose in the settings, there's a way to have that reduced to begin with. There's also an energy system. You expend energy doing analysis of materials to give you better clues along with other actions. You can use stimulants you find or create using materials around you to refill your energy. And if you run out of energy, you can still analyze things, but it fills your corruption meter. Yay. Yeah. There's a little display bottom left of the screen that shows you how much stimulant you have, how much energy, and a reminder of some of the buttons you need to use, stuff like that. Another thing, I don't know if I explicitly said, I think I did, that there's no combat in this game. When you do come into something ooky, we don't really confront it. Tension is through other means. The audio was really well done. Good voice acting when you have it, good directional audio, and a good attempt at music and sounds for otherworldly locations and phenomena that you encounter. I would also mention the AI here again, like that sometimes it gives us a reason to talk or hear someone else during the underwater scenes. And that brought back a little humanity and relieved a small amount of tension in the atmosphere in the game. So like these little conversations you have just with the AI are like oddly comforting at times. The graphics with stylized realism and well freaking done. The textures felt really real. The objects you can rotate in the investigations are well modeled. Lighting is excellent. The environmental work for strange locations across space-time are just fantastic. There are pulsating organic matter in places, and the feeling of the ooey-gooey tentacled masses, like, it's good stuff. I felt like they did a good job with settings and menu and options. You can adjust sensitivities, invert axes, adjust individual audio selections, performance versus quality for graphics, and a variety of accessibility options like vision deficiency settings. A few negatives. Some of the controls or object manipulation is finicky. Like I'd press a button a few times before they would seem to want to actually click. I don't know. Like it just was a little finicky. The head bob was a little aggressive at first, but you can turn that off in the settings. And some of the save systems, like an auto-save system, like there's not enough checkpoints, maybe. And it's hard to know outside of the actual chapter that your game was saved. So, you know, play for a chunk, and maybe when you get to an actual, like, chapter mark is when you take a break and leave the game and come back so that you don't lose any progress. Good stuff. I mentioned atmosphere and tone, the detective exploration, the soundscape. I often felt claustrophobic in the corridors of the base or the tunnels, like the maze, or that the ocean was too vast, and I wanted the comfort and safety of like a HUD that wasn't there. It is a game that will make you feel uneasy, and that was a good thing. If you don't struggle with the puzzles or get too lost, you might find yourself with 10 to 15 hours of solid gameplay. So, if you're a fan of something like Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song or The Council, the developer Big Bad Wolf's other games, you'll probably like this. I would say some knowledge of Cthulhu Mythos is helpful to enjoy the material, but you can play it without it. And if you like detective-style mechanics and good environmental narratives and the Lovecraftian Mythos, I think you should give this a look.
Very good. It is $49.99. Your thoughts on that?
Ultimately, I'm going to give this a try it because I can see this not being everyone's cup of tea. Like, it's a solid game, but it was not quite what I was expecting in terms of gameplay. What it does well, I've mentioned, but there was something just kind of off about the game that I can't quite place, and maybe that's also some of its really unsettling charm. I don't know. I did like it, so it's a very solid try it.
Very good. There is also a Sanity skin pack for $4.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. I didn't actually take a look at that, but I mean, if it's something that you're really into, like, go for it, yeah. It
says, discover an exclusive user interface steeped in the corruption of Cthulhu, reflecting the torment of your mind as your sanity crumbles.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah, no, that sounds exciting. Go for
you
it.
You can also customize the look of your torch and your sonar with exclusive options.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a good way to support the devs.
Up next, Tiny Bookshop, developed by Neoludic Games, published by Skystone Games. It released April 10th, Series X and S, Xbox, PC, and PS5 for $19.99. Leave everything behind and open a tiny bookshop by the sea in this cozy narrative management game. Stock your tiny bookshop with different books and items, set up shop in scenic locations, and run your cozy secondhand bookshop while getting to know the locals. Bree, what's Tiny Bookshop?
Have you ever dreamed of running a small independent bookstore? Well, now you can. On wheels, in a little caravan you can customize. In this management game with strong story elements, you'll run a secondhand shop recommending books to customers, wheeling around while you get to know the locals in Buxtonbury by the Sea. You start out with a little caravan book trailer hitched to your car, and a dream of successful entrepreneurship, or however you say that word. That's a word. How you decorate is really up to you. You collect things on your journey that you can use to decorate your ideal shop with. You get to choose where you want to set up each day, like the market square or the cliffside. You get a local newspaper each morning that tells you the weather and the events of the day in town. And then there's classifieds you can use to buy decorations for your shop or refill your books. You get to know the townspeople. You have to match the book to the person. And people have very particular tastes. You have a few genres of books like crime, classics, romance, stuff like that. And then you have other things people are looking for, like length of book. And a lot of the books you see in the game are real books. So you'll recognize some of the classics like Pride and Prejudice and Dracula. And if you've read them, it'll give you a little leg up on knowing the system on how to recommend. But you don't need to know all of these stories to be able to play the game. Book buyers will also just find things on the shelf they're looking for in the categories they like. And that's really the main loop of the game. You choose where to set up for the day, recommend and sell some books, talk to people, make money, buy stuff to upgrade and restock, and repeat. There's a tiny learning curve to manage all the things and understand how to meet the expectations of customers, but there's really not a fail state for this game. You just don't make as much money as fast. There's no real urgency other than the press of the day-night cycle where you're open to sell. And like once in a while, you feel the pressure of finding the right book for the customer before they wander off displeased, but don't worry, they'll be back. The game gets a little repetitive once you know the loop, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually a little addictive. You've got your cup of tea by the seaside and you're performing your daily ritual like you were retired and doing a hobby to give some structure to your day. Like that's the kind of vibe that you get from this. It's like a little dream of living a slower life. And I love that I can curl up with this charming video game like a good book in short segments of time and just like relax. There are a few management mechanics you can pay attention to when you decorate. Like the first decoration you get has some modifiers to it. It's a cactus and it gives a plus chance to sell drama books, but it also has a danger element because it's, you know, spiky and cactusy. It has a few other qualifiers that'll give you some chances at achievements. You also have to like manage your money. Locations have a cost to them. And you need to restock your books. But there are opportunities in like the classifieds to pick up estate boxes for free or cheap and restock your books that way. You have to manage your specific inventory. You don't have as much shelf space to start with, and you can't keep your entire inventory on the shelves, but you can fairly easily move your general inventory around, organize your shelves and genres. You also have quests to do, like meet sales goals. You get a journal to help keep track of things, which is nice. Talking about the achievements, from there, I learned you can adopt animals, so you can make some sales goals for the day, like selling a certain amount of a genre in one day, stuff like that. There are other activities you can do, like collect stamps, play games, do yoga. It's all pretty chill. I mentioned some story elements. There are a few story arcs with different characters that give you some humanity to your customers and the beat of the town. You'll find some quirks to your townspeople, too. It's a delightful experience to slowly become a member of the Buxtonbury community. I'd say also the game has some good tactile elements to it, because you use your cursor to move around the screen with the controller. And you'll have to open and close the shutters and doors on your little caravan. You can poke things like the local gulls and get them to make noises. You can press a button and go into like a hover mode and get details about objects and books. You can turn, you can look around the environment with your right stick and zoom in and out of the scene. There's even little things in each location you can interact with, like at the viewfinder at the beach. There's signs to read and all kinds of little things to explore while your customers peruse the stacks. There's secrets to discover, lore and town history to uncover, beautiful scenery to observe. The art has a lovely softness to it that really leans into the cozy vibe you're going for in this game. There's a lot of detail in the art while maintaining this soft look to it. And the movement in things like water and flags, is just fun. It's just something to like breathe life into the serene simplicity of the design. The music was chill, much like the game. Uses some beautiful strings and piano and even some soothing woodwinds that remind you to just breathe. The music does get a little repetitive sometimes after you've heard all the songs a few times. You rest in one place too long on the pause menu, writing review notes. I would also mention some of the pleasant atmospheric noises, like gentle wind, rifling pages, that act as like a smooth, immersive tonal layer to the pleasant music. I like this one.
All right. Well, it's a $20 game, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and Premium. What do you think of this for $20?
I'm going to give this a buy it. This is a game for relaxation and contemplation. It's a great game for book lovers. If you like any of those things, it might be a game for you. It's something you can try with your Game Pass Ultimate subscription and see if it's for you too.
Very good. Final game to talk about tonight. We got a preview of The Player Who Can't Level Up, developed by Tri-Pearl Games, published by Tri-Pearl Games and Smilegate. It's releasing soon on Steam and consoles. The Player Who Can't Level Up is an action roguelike game based on the web novels and webtoons of the same name. You can freely combine various combat styles and numerous growth factors to become stronger, experience unexpected enhancements effects through various random elements. Whatever that means. Aki, tell us, what is The Player Who Can't Level Up?
Okay, in this, you play as Kim, and the world has suddenly had gates that monsters come from, and the people who get specialized crazy abilities are called players, and they get power by leveling up and being kick-ass, just like a video game. Except for Kim. He's unlucky. He can't level up at all. He's just kind of shit out of luck. Until one day he finds some swords they can level up instead. Woo! And that's the beginning of the story. And now it fast forwards a little bit, and you're called in to come and deal with this weird gate because it's not behaving the way it's supposed to. And you go in to go clear it up all on your lonesome. So in this, you're basically going in and playing through different, one of five different paths, basically, you can choose. In the demo, we only have access to the first one, sadly. And basically, every time you go in, the level is slightly different. What enemies you're fighting is different, as well as what level ups you find from the various chests and the like are all gone. These can be anything from, oh, let's give you a normal amount of extra health, so 60 extra health or something, anywhere to, here's an epic one, 180 hit points given to you, have fun, stuff like that. And after every run, that shit disappears. You also get different mechanical abilities, like you can get an ability where after you hit an enemy, it has a small percent chance of causing an electrified circle to show up, and anything that steps into it or is in it, gets electrocuted, getting a little bit of damage. Woo! Every time I went looking for abilities, those are the first ones I grabbed if I could get them, because they're amazing. And yeah, you very quickly end up with like a whole bunch of abilities that you can obtain, but you only have a limited amount of places to put them, as well as there's only so many sections to any one of these paths that you take, so it's not like you can be like, okay, I can equip everything and level it all up. No, you don't have enough of these chests to unlock and stuff to get these things to do that in the first place. So you're looking at getting like a couple of them maxed out and maybe a couple other at level 2 if you're lucky, and that's about all you're getting. And after every run, whether you succeed or fail, you go back to a hub area, which allows you to spend some of the resources that you've obtained to either unlock some special abilities that you carry over that aren't particularly amazing. Like, for instance, I have one that's set up that every time I go from one level to the next in this section, I take away 5% of a corruption that's constantly slowly leveling or infecting you throughout your entire run. And once it hits 100%, every couple of seconds, you take a lot of damage. And it's just there until it goes away. Yeah, it's made to make you move fast. Realistically, that doesn't matter as much as you might think, because there are different things that you can find in the area that will take a whole big chunk of it away, thankfully. You're still likely to die to it every now and then, but most of the time, that's not a major concern, thankfully. And yeah, you also get the ability to spend some of your resources to level up each of your swords, because there's two of them, and they are both separate from each other. As you level them up, you unlock more abilities that you can equip to them in a run. And then right before you head off on a run, you can pick up an ability that you get to use for that run before you head in. And it's always randomized, and sometimes, therefore, it's useful, and other times, it's really, really fucking not. And yeah, it's a pretty fun game. It's real fast. There's sections where you're running through, and then you get a little chunk of enemies. You beat those enemies, and then there's either going to be a chest there where you can get some resources and maybe a health potion or two, or there's going to be a little area that you can click on and it'll open up and it'll be like, oh, pick which one of these three randomized additives you get. Like, oh, here you can do, here's a normal one. You get like 5% more damage you can do, or 5% reduced damage from enemies, so on and so forth. And stuff like that. And it's really fun, and every run ends up being very different because of that. And yeah, it does end in technically in two boss fights for the demo, because you get a standardized boss fight, and then you go into a special area where that's all that entire level is just a boss. And it took me 3 or 4 runs before I was finally able to finish a run to completion, and that was pretty fun.
All right. Well, the game does not have a release date yet. It'll come out when it's ready to come out. What should people do with this one? Should we wish list it, follow it, ignore it? There's a demo on Steam. Should people grab it and play it?
Oh, definitely get the demo and play it. Y'all are gonna love this bitch. It is so fun. And then definitely wishlist it, because it is a fantastic game. I can't wait for this thing to get a full release. I think I'm gonna really enjoy my time.
Very good. And with that, we are done. Yay! Ba-ba-ba-ba. Big thanks to all the people who came on this episode to hang out for VGMCon wrap-up. Thanks to Jacob for coming on, doing his thing, and then going to bed after his friggin' movie watch, because he had to just make it longer.
Yep.
He likes making it longer.
Only when he's on the street corner.
Yeah. Music. We talked about the one-ups covering, or Mustin working on the Earthworm Jim album. We're going to play something from the one-ups off of that album. How's that sound?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called What the Heck. Yeah. Does anyone have any final words?
Holy shit. I'm getting married.
Thank you.